This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show.
Nick, Hall of Famer Willis Reed has passed away at the age of 80. Spike Lee, who as a young man was at that Game 7 when Willis came out of the tunnel, he is called in and is joining us now.
May 8th, 1970, I was 13 years old. I never ever heard a noise. Rob Willis dragged his leg. And then Willis had to get back. Then those needles were like horse needles. So everybody was out doing layup line. And when Willis came out, dragged legged out, the entire, I see with my own eyes, Will Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, the whole team stopped and like they froze.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Sad news to start the show. Willis Reed passes away at the age of 80, the captain of the 70 and the 73 championship teams, and then the iconic moment in Game 7 in 1970, as Spike Lee was talking about, when he dragged his leg onto the court through the iconic tunnel at the Garden, which is, I love the reimagining of the Garden. The thing that bothers me is that tunnel was such a big part of what the Knick games were about, and they moved it. Now you kind of walk out from behind the basket, not behind the basket, to the left behind the basket. And I understand why they did it. Those seats obviously are very valuable right at midcourt. But when a player or the team would come out, you know, I used to cover the Knicks during the Riley era and the Van Gundy era. And when, you know, Patrick Ewing would come out through that tunnel leading the Knick team, the place would just shake and reverberate. But in the reimagining of it, they took away the tunnel. But we'll always have Willis Reed. And strangely enough, I don't know if you know this, Don, our program director, Ryan Hurley, his dad, Jerry, was a cameraman. And the iconic shot of Willis coming out of the tunnel was Jerry's shot.
Can you believe that?
Isn't that unbelievable? Yeah, that they're always connected forever.
I'm not going to say, Don, I'm not going to say that it's like Andrew Gundling holding back on the Jay-Z story.
Right. It's close.
But it's in the conversation.
It's in the they're hanging. They're at the same table.
Yeah, they're at the same table. I was like, really? That shot? I mean, listen, I knew that shot before I ever lived in New York. And it's way before. I mean, it's 6 years before I was born.
Oh, it's one of the biggest shots of television shots of all time.
9 years before you were born.
No. Isn't 73?
No, this is 70.
It was 70. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9 years before I was born. Thank you.
You were so young. You actually weren't even born.
I've known Ryan for 17 years. Now, is it possible he could have told us and I forgot? Anything's possible, but I don't think we all would have forgotten.
Is it also possible he's a hack-a-doodle-doo?
Yes.
Maybe he doesn't want to brag on things.
Come on.
Well, it's your dad.
Yeah, man. You're allowed
dad.
You're allowed to brag about your pops. It's the rule.
Well, he did tell us today. So
yeah, it was awesome, man. That impressed me. I said, okay.
Yeah, it is one of the most famous shots of all time, and it's accompanied by this.
Here comes Willis, and the crowd is going wild.
Marv Albert was there, and Marv is going to join us at 4:45 to give us some of his memories. You know, Willis ended up coaching the Knicks. He took over for Red Holtzman in Red's second time there, and then he ended up coaching the Nets and was the GM of the Nets. So he had quite a career, and everybody you talk to, you know, I met Willis a number of times. He was always really, really nice. Said what a great man he was.
Don, I got to tell you, there's a top five hanging out there right now.
I know. I was just thinking about it myself.
Well, look, are we thinking the same thing?
Just Garden moments?
No, no. Although that's a very good one. Mine was most iconic shots. Like in talking about Ryan's dad getting the shot of Reed, what are those shots that you just picture from events?
Well, I think Y.A. Tittle one that we've talked about a lot.
That's
so
a still, though.
Still photography?
That's a still, shot.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about the video moments.
Reggie.
Reggie's big. What about Michael's final shot against Utah when he pushes Russell off and hits the jumper? That's a big one.
Or the Cavalier shot. Or, that to me,
Elo,
he's pumping his fist. Yeah. Elo falls.
The Elo one is big.
That would be bigger to me.
And the ball going through Buckner's legs.
Oh, that's a shot.
That is a shot.
It's a fun one to think about.
That is a fun
one. What about Montana to Dwight Clark?
Big one. Absolutely.
Well, no, it would probably be the catch would be bigger to me. That's it, right.
That is the catch.
I was thinking about Taylor. I was thinking different Super Bowl, same teams.
Almost made me feel like I was a moron.
I was deep in thought about it. But, yeah, the catch.
Catch is big.
The thing that you don't know.
The catch is huge.
Again, you were this year's old when you find out.
Yeah.
Jerry Hurley was covering Dwight Clark on that play.
Is that true?
Yeah. Brian never told us that either. Got burned a little bit.
And I'll tell you what, not a lot of people know because they only think about Ryan Hurley when it comes to Jerry Hurley's life. But what a run he had with Bobby Hurley.
Yeah.
The whole family.
Danny,
all his kids did a great job. And then there's Ryan, who's sort of the ne'er-do-well.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? He's trying. Let's go to Don in New York. Don? Hello,
yeah,
Don.
Hello. Yeah, great show, guys. I was just wanted to let you know that I'm a lifelong Knicks fan. I've been for 73 years. I'm old now, and I was at those championship games. I was at that Willis Reed game.
Tell me what that was like, Don, when he came through the tunnel.
Well, we were sitting in section 300, and it was electric. It really was. He hit the first two jumpers, and then he didn't play anymore, but they went on to win the championship. But those games were unbelievable. It really was.
Yeah. It's just we were talking about this earlier, Don. It's one of the great, if not the greatest, sports moment in New York history. And believe me, we've had a lot. It's one of the great sports moments of all time.
No, it really is. And it's just like I said, it's a Willis Reed. Anybody that comes off the mat, anybody that comes into a game you weren't expecting. You know, Kirk Gibson pulled a Willis Reed.
By the way,
the World Series.
The Kirk Gibson fist pump, that's a big one,
that's,
too.
That's huge.
And, you know, and the other bigger one in baseball, Michael will probably remember this, the Carlton Fisk homer in Game 6 of the 75 series.
Yep.
Where he's willing to stay fair.
Oh, that's a gargantuan.
And the story behind it, because you know what he's following Fisk up the line, and it was so perfect. And then we find out, I don't know if you've ever heard this story, I read about this years ago, that the camera, there was a huge rat in
the wall.
The green monster, and it was like at his feet. So he's trying to kick the rat, and as he's kicking the rat, the camera's starting to move. Luckily enough for him, following Fisk up the first base line. So maybe it wouldn't have been as iconic if the rat wasn't tangled in his leg.
No, that is a true story. I've heard it from Flip, where there was this big, big rat that he was trying to avoid. He looked down at his feet, and as he kept moving away from it, the camera kept like listing toward first base, because that's not a shot that was ever taken. A director would never say follow the guy up the first baseline, but because of that rat, which was the size of a small pony, they kept following Fisk. The camera almost did the job. Like the baseball god said, follow Carlton Fisk up the line as he's waving at fair. So.
You know, speaking of great television icons, Michael, guess who I finally got to meet for the first time at the parking garage on Saturday after the Ranger game?
Television icons. Let me think.
That I finally got a chance to meet.
I'm not even going to try. Kaylee Cuoco.
The great John Moore. Finally got a chance to meet him.
Now, I'm going to tell you another story about that. Okay. So, Yes had its seminar yesterday, and John's wife works for Yes. And I was walking by, and she goes, you know, we ran into Don LaGreca in the parking lot. And she said, I'm not sure he'll remember it. I'm not sure he really knew who John was. I said, I'll check. And now you did know. I'm so happy.
No, he can't. You know, he always
every time he's met John Moore, Peter, every time. Nice to meet you. Every time he's seen him for like 10 years now. Really nice to meet you.
By the way, that's a rule you got to break. I've tried to make it see you always in case. That's all you need to do.
It's great
because
to see
if you're
you,
meeting someone for the first time, you can say see you. They don't care,
right?
And if it's the 10th time, you're safe.
I love the way you think.
Thank you.
Also love the Counting Crows.
Mm-hmm.
Do you don't like them?
No, I'm doubting you.
No, don't doubt me. Mm-hmm. Counting Crows are coming to PNC Bank Art Center on Thursday, July 6th, and Northwell Health at Jones Beach Theater on Saturday, July 8th. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets all week with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael Kay Show. It's all from Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at livenation.com. 1-800-919-3776. Keith in Rockaway, New Jersey. Keith.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Huge fan of the show.
Thank you.
Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
I wanted to call and start by saying it's a real shame about Willis Reed. I had the pleasure of meeting him a few times as a kid. I'm only 35 years old, so I didn't have the chance to watch him play, but I met him several times when he was part of the Nets organization and just at Knick games. But I actually have a story where I met him and you in the same night, Mr. K.
Really? What night?
At the Garden. I was at Madison Square Garden in the mid-90s, if I had to guess, around 96, 97. Somehow my father scored courtside seats, which I, to this day, still don't know how he did. we were sitting behind Red Holtzman during that game and his wife. And he said at halftime, we got to walk around to see who's here. And back then, you could bring anything into the stadium. And we had baseballs. We had mini basketballs. And first I ran into Willis Reed and couldn't have been a nicer guy every time I met him. Signed the ball with no problem, took a picture with us. And then toward the end of the game, as we're walking around, he said, let's go over to the other side. I think I see a couple of the sportscasters over there. And you were sitting next to Mike Breen. And I actually have a signature from you and Mike Breen on the same baseball.
Wow.
Along with Marv Albert from the same night. All three of you guys cool. On the same ball.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad that story ended well, that you didn't say, like, Willis Reed was great to me, and then you just blew me off. So, but you didn't say that. So I'm glad. Adam Silver just released this statement regarding Willis Reed. Willis Reed was the ultimate team player and consummate leader. My earliest and fondest memories of NBA basketball are of watching Willis, who embodied the winning spirit that defined the New York Knicks championship teams in the early 1970s, played the game with remarkable passion and determination, as his inspiring comeback in Game 7 of the 1970 NBA Finals remains one of the most iconic moments in all of sports. As a leader, as a league MVP, two-time NBA Finals MVP, and member of the NBA's 50th and 75th anniversary teams, Willis was a decorated player who took great pride in his consistency. Following his playing career, Willis mentored the next generation as a coach, team executive, and a proud HBCU alumnus. We send our deepest condolences to Willis's wife, Gail, his family, and his many friends and family. So now, there you have it.
Wow.
It's still not much of a rivalry. It wasn't really anything in the 90s, but I wonder if it bothered Knick fans that he went to the Nets.
See how?
Yeah, some of the great players from that team, like Phil Jackson, ended up being one of their greatest tormentors, both as a coach of the Bulls and then as the GM of the Knicks, the saboteur, I like to call him. But Willis never burned any bridges. Willis was just a wonderful, wonderful guy. Every time I met him, he was amazing. So he was kind of smallish for a center, ended up being in the Hall of Fame, averaged 19 points, 13 rebounds, and he was tough as nails, just tough as nails. And he also coached at Creighton from 1981 to 85. So
how long did he coach the Nets?
Not that long. He joined the Nets in 88 as a coach, and then he went to the front office, but I think it may be a couple of years. It wasn't a lot. Yeah. And then he was the GM. He was a pretty good GM for them. Let's go to...
Larry Bird played his entire career in Boston, then his entire executive career was in Indiana.
Right. Absolutely. Let's go to Bob in New Milford. Bob.
Yes, sir.
How
you
are you?
Talking about... Terrific. Thanks for having me on. Great fan. You were talking about the iconic New York shots.
Right.
Joe Namath with the number one finger going down the aisle, going down the tunnel.
You know what? Great call, Bob.
That's huge, too.
That's one of the great pictures of all time as he's leaving the field at the Orange Bowl after winning Super Bowl III. And, you know, Joe has a little bit of a hunch in his back. And, I mean, kids have, like, recreated that shot all the time. And he, like, hunched over. You see the number 12, you see Namath, and his fingers wagging as, you know, they were certainly number one. That is a great shot. That's definitely one of the shots for sure. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Mike in Yonkers. Mike.
Hey, guys. I was a New York Knicks fan in my childhood. Willis Reed was one of my heroes. I don't want to ever take anything away from him, but I think the greatest sports moment in New York sports had nothing to do with baseball, football, basketball. I thought it was Joe Frazier's 15th round punch left hook to Ali that put him on the mat. Well, that was the greatest sporting event of the 20th century. That was the great moment.
Fight of the century.
It was. And yeah, Peter always like jumps me for this, but Clyde was at that event and said that you couldn't get near the Garden, that he actually had his limo parked in Harlem and then got to the Garden in another way. You just couldn't get near it.
By the way, I do not believe that story.
Well, I'm sorry. No, Walt Frazier told me.
No, no, he's exaggerating. He misremembers. Some of the greats have.
I mean, if Elvis...
It's not a factual statement.
If Elvis and John Lennon...
Right.
If Elvis and John Lennon... And you know what? Throw in Michael Jackson.
Right.
Decided to do... Right now, somehow, someone got them to do a, you know, some sort of concert at the Garden where all three performed. You could park closer than...
Let me tell you what.
The Apollo.
A photographer at
Am I right,
event,
Don?
A photographer at the event that shot the fight for Life magazine, yes, was Frank Sinatra.
That's right.
And Frank Sinatra told people he had to park in Staten Island to get to the Garden. That's how backed he up took, the streets were.
Frank took the ferry that night?
Yeah, he took the ferry. So wow. don't be...
Somebody would have died if that would have happened, if he had to take the ferry.
So I've got a quick Walt Frazier story.
Okay.
So I go to the Garden with my family on Saturday, see the Knicks and the Nuggets, and it was great. And then Mike Breen texted me after the game, come down. You know, he has a real fondness for my son, Charlie. He said, I want to see my pal, Charlie. So we came down, and they're breaking, you know, Don, they break it down right away. They break the court down right away because it was a Ranger game that night. Mm-hmm. By the way, James Dolan had to be pretty proud of that night, at that day. Full house at the Garden for the Knicks, full house at the Garden for the Rangers. Both teams won. Really nice wins. So I'm telling Charlie and Callie, I said, I want to bring you over to Walt Frazier, who was sitting there as the Garden is emptying out. I said, I want you to meet Walt Frazier. And Charlie goes, well, why? I said, he's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Charlie goes, I won't go over. I said, why? He goes, I'm too shy. I don't want to do it. So Callie said, I'll do it. And she said, hello, Mr. Frazier. She, you know, she was talking with him. But Charlie was hiding behind me, would not meet him.
Mm.
So I'm driving him home later. I said, Charlie, I don't understand why you do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He goes, well, I'm shy. I said, but he's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. He goes, well, that's the reason I didn't want to go over. I wouldn't know what to say. I said, Charlie, last year at spring training, you actually had a 5-minute conversation with Aaron Judge. 5 minutes with Aaron Judge. You weren't afraid to talk to Aaron Judge. He goes, that was before he hit 62 home runs. Now I wouldn't be able to.
Oh.
I looked at it. I don't know what to say, but
I don't know. It's so weird. Like,
why didn't you just? I blame you.
You blame me?
Yeah, you should have just said, "Oh, hey, this is Mike's co-host, co-commentator with the Knicks."
Aren't you kind of like devaluing Walt Frazier by saying he's his co-commentator?
You tell him afterwards.
No, but you know he gets shy. Peter's right.
No, he's never been like this before. He did talk to Aaron Judge. He did freeze up talking to Stanton, but he was great talking to Aaron Judge.
But this downplay, and then after he meets him, say, you know who you just met? One of the great basketball players of all time.
All right, so I'm a bad father, okay? Well, stop.
No, I don't. That's quite the leap.
And listen, that's you saying that, okay?
Quite the leap. I didn't.
But that's what you're trying to say.
No, I'm trying to give you a suggestion as somebody who also all of a sudden has a shy kid in Marco who doesn't want to meet people out of nowhere. It's awkward. You just try to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to help out. But did I suggest, Peter, in any way humanly possible, that Michael was a bad father?
He, you know, that's obviously what's on his mind. But don't worry, I have some good news for everybody.
What do you have?
What is that?
I have Drop Madness, all brought to you by Wendy's. Fresh, never looked so square at Wendy's. A Dave single, now just a buck when you want the best hamburger. Square's the beef.
You know what's amazing to me, Peter?
Hmm.
That has been Wendy's catchphrase forever, since the old woman did the commercials, where's the beef?
Yeah.
This is the first time they've come up with squares the beef. Their hamburgers are square. It's so perfect. How's this the first time ever?
It's a great point. Maybe they were just paying homage to the where's the beef lady. She only passed about 20 years ago. You know, they're doing the right thing. All right, guys, we're going to start off in the Flub region. Remember, you can go vote on all of these. TMKS ESPN on Twitter, the 4 seed.
He went to movies by himself, and I used to kill him for it.
What's movies?
He would go to movies.
Movies. Up against the 13 seed.
Corin and Manasquan.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a rough one. Then we have the 5 seed, which, Don, I'll tell you what, this could have been number 1 to me.
between Kaidi and Kyrie.
We just worry about
Wow. We worry
between Kaidi and Kyrie.
Up against the 12 seed.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Hi.
Do we also go to the funny region for the 4 seed matchup? That's me and Don doing our NFL mic'd up impression.
Wow.
The 13 seed.
Swish.
I don't know why.
Swish.
Why does he say it that way?
We got to tie. We got to mash that up with the high guys.
Swish.
Then we have the 5 seed in the funny region.
I'm on the air.
Up against the 12 seed. I'll tell you what, Michael. That's a primetime TNT game right there.
That really is.
Don, that's a great matchup.
I think they have Brian Anderson at the mic, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a Brian Anderson vehicle. We have the 4 seed in the troubling region.
That's me by banging my forehead on the microphone.
Against the 13.
Can I see?
No, you can't.
All right.
Another Michael yelling at a co-host drop. The 5 seed.
Yummy.
Against the 12 seed.
If the Nets had a happy Harden.
We go to the nether region, the 4 seed.
Andrew, how do you say the name?
Not like that.
Up against. It's funny. Michael's calling card, Don, is yelling at people when they scratch him. Andrew's is being just unbelievably sarcastic.
Yes.
Up against the 13 seed.
I can't stand boxing.
Oh, Harry. I hope Harry wins 90-10.
Yes.
The 5 seed in the nether region.
New York.
Up against the 12 seed.
Not good.
Wow. Gundling versus Francesa. Talk about heavy
hitters.
Wow. Wow.
You can go vote right now, TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Vote early, vote often, vote.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so yesterday I took off because, Yes always has a seminar right before the baseball season, and it was well done and everything, but I leave for one day, and the two of you get into a war with our listeners. What are you doing?
Couldn't be more proud.
Don, what's happening here?
Well, the company just got really irritating and sensitive, and I just
not ESPN.
Well, no,
yeah,
people thought
that,
though.
People did think that.
That's what they thought.
When I said I was done with the company, the next two phone calls were, Don, please don't leave.
I love Disney.
Yeah. They were worried. They were worried that, oh, we just found out we're keeping Michael, now we're losing Don.
Listen, right.
Let me just get you caught up, okay? Just really a real quick catch-up.
Well, do you want to hear it? Don't we have it?
Well, I'll just... Yeah, I'll play. Give me
it's
one
in
second.
Gray.
What, give me a second.
You want one second.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Just one second. Is that... There was about a couple of months ago, Peter and I jokingly sighed when somebody said, shout out to the company. And a whole war started. I felt bad about it. I went to Lonnie. I went to some of the people that were involved with the company, DM them because I follow them and they follow me. Say, sorry that it got a little out of hand. We were just having some fun. Sorry. And everything was fine. So I've made an effort every time the company is called to be fully engaged and be supportive. And this was the call that happened yesterday.
Here we go.
Let's go to Anthony in the mail truck.
Peter, Don, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Shout out to the company.
Oh, okay, sure.
Company! Halt!
Company!
Dismiss!
I want to ask you a question, Anthony. How many people do you guesstimate are in the company?
It's growing, though, isn't it?
Let's put it this way. If the company decides to go on some sort of crazed mission where things are dangerous potentially, you're not the first. You love the company, but you're going to be I got to get home to my family.
What are we going for?
I don't know, a bank heist or something?
No, if you were a cult that went sideways, there's enough people in it, there'd be coverage.
Right. You're not going sideways with it.
No, I'm. Listen, I'm sideways all for the company, man. All right, I'm all right. For it. You know, I'm with them.
And if they ask for some sort of family sacrifice, would you be willing to do it? Are you in or are you out?
I would go there, Peter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Would go there, Peter?
Very macabre here. But he is trying to test your allegiance, yeah. But he's going way out
way
there.
Deep.
Here's the deal with the Knicks, and thank you for the call. Company dismissed.
And that seemed like it angered them because Lonnie then DM'd me. And said, I know you aren't on the show, but I'm done with the show because of what these guys, the lack of respect. Imagine being called a cult. And my answer to Lonnie was, I didn't pull you bring up some salient points.
Well, that's what I expected.
No.
I expected you were going to say, listen, you know, I understand where you're coming from.
I said, Lonnie, I don't know if you get what this is all about. We're having fun. I said, if Don and Peter, you know, cut me off every time I made fun of them, the show wouldn't exist.
Right.
I mean, the people that you love, Rick and Dave, all they do. Is make fun of each other. I said, that's what this is about. I mean, I would tell you, I'm sorry you feel this way, but I think that you're a little sensitive.
Yeah.
So now we've lost them, and thanks, guys. Good job by
good
you.
Good riddance. I feel relieved. It's like a tumor's been taken out of my brain.
It's now going to get worse.
No, I don't care. I want it to get worse. I want to set fire to it and burn it right to the ground. Because now, all through my timeline last night, I'm getting attacked, calling you a cult. I can't believe we love you. Why do you attack us? Michael, you heard that phone call. Was that an attack? Come on, stop it.
Also,
stop
Don,
it.
How about Joey Salvia ringing in and supporting the company?
That made probably no sense. I was trying to figure out.
They hook into Joey because they met Joey at the 20th anniversary, and Joey doesn't know what's going on. So Joey's like, I know Don. He's probably just kidding.
And Don screamed in Twitter. Pick a side, Joey, with a couple of exclamation points.
Right, because I'm like, no, because like enough. It's Steve Brzezinski, same thing. It's like, I like the company. I'm like, pick a side. And it's I'm not even against the whole company. It's that the leadership is poor. Lonnie's just too weak to be a leader because
he
can't take it. He can't take it, Michael. If you can't have fun with the guy. Every time you say something, I get inundated with DMs and tweets about I'm being disrespectful. Yes, I am being disrespectful. I'm done. I've blocked them all. Not muted. Blocked them all. I'm done. If you can't take a little fun, and I actually made an effort to be really nice and cute and have some fun, and you still go sideways, you can't take it, you're not big enough or grown up enough to be in New York, go away, goodbye, I'm done.
So I was already where Don was when the first thing happened. I was frankly annoyed with Don that he went and made peace on Twitter. I was like, who cares? And then I'm with Don. I've been I have to get pulled aside by Lonnie and have a conversation. And I said to him when I saw him in person, Michael, I said what you're saying. I said, Lonnie, you know I'm a wrestling fan, right? I'm a wrestling guy. It's all just good fun. We, you know, where the shows promote each other. We have a good time. We make fun. That's it. And he's like, I get it. But I don't know if everyone else does. Well apparently he doesn't get it.
Everybody else has to get it. And I like all these guys. And I'm not you two. I'm not two animals.
I know.
Like you.
You're very dignified.
But I will tell you this. You got to get over it. I mean, if you want to listen to the show, you have to understand what the show is about. And you have to have a little thicker skin. Sorry.
Yeah,
you can't be upset because Don said like a cult. He didn't call anybody a cult.
Yeah, it was a
goof. And even if he said you guys are a cult, so what?
Even if the joke.
Laugh it off.
Even if every call that someone said shout out the company, we went, oh, here's the cult again. Who cares? It's funny. It's
a
goof.
Listen, you know, Don and Peter and I were all equal ownership of the show.
Thank you.
And Don on the pregame meeting said, if they call in, we're hanging up.
That Don was Don's actually the only one who expressed that.
Right.
I laughed and said, sounds good to me.
And I'm agnostic.
So what are you going to do?
Well, pick a side. Choose.
I choose you.
Me or the company.
Wow.
I choose you.
So Don, if someone
calls the company wants to get back at my good graces, you oust Lonnie.
Ooh.
Wow.
Because you have poor leadership. He's too weak.
Can you guys believe this?
Wow, he's really going up.
No. This I believe. Can you believe Matt?
Then he's like, I'm not going to answer your tweet because I could send a Scud missile.
Now, what would it be? Really what do you scared. Have on Don?
Well, what are you going to do? Leak the tape.
Leak the tape.
I threw a pillow at you. Apparently, I'd knock you unconscious. You're so weak.
He's really.
No, he's
wow,
he's,
Lonnie. Goodbye.
Don.
Goodbye to Lonnie.
Peter has something
to
say.
We'll see you in another life.
He's very excited about what could be a magical moment for him.
Can you believe I wake up to a text this morning, a news story that Magic Johnson is in the ownership group potentially for the Commies?
Oh, my dear Heavenly Father.
I mean, can you imagine the upgrade, though, if we go from Dan Snyder to Josh Harris, who people say is tremendous, the Devils, the Devils and Sixers owner, with Magic Johnson in the group as well?
Yeah, that's like hell to heaven.
It's How is he done with the Dodgers? Or he doesn't do it, he's just there.
A very small percentage. He's kind of like a face that's there.
Which I'm guessing it would be something like that here, too.
I would think so.
But, by the way, the Dodgers have been great since he's been around.
Yeah, I think the Guggenheim partner is probably a reason.
I'm just talking about positive energy, right?
Okay.
It's the Magic Man. I love the Magic Man.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder if he's going to move from L.A. to D.C. That would show me.
I bet he'd get an apartment. I mean,
apartment in D.C.?
A little luxury apartment.
What, like the White House?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Get a little flat in Landover.
Let's go to the phones.
Good reference, Don, to the old Cap Center.
Chris in Staten Island.
And that's where the Commanders play, too, is Landover.
Yeah.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi.
I'm good. Hey, guys. My
Hello.
Husband's like, you can be on hold for like 2 hours. I'm like, no, I'm not. He's a moron. Okay, you want my story?
Yeah,
sure.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I worked for an office that worked with the Nets front office, and this was like early 2000s, and I would have Willis Reed, and my boss was like, you don't know him, don't talk to him. Obviously, he did. We became friends. And long story short, he knew about me being engaged. And he's like, oh, you're going to get engaged. You're going to hate it. Don't get married. And in the meantime, And I'm still married, which is a shock. I can't believe I should have told him. I know, 20 years to a Yankee fan that's like, oh, you're not going to pick up. Anyway, so we both had a rash in our hands. And he's like, you know, Chris, you got to use this stuff on my hands. He's like, it's called Coltar. And I'm like, all right, well, so I started using it. And I'm like, I think I'm getting engaged. Sure enough, that weekend, my hands were stained. Willis asked me. He's like, do you ever get engaged? I'm like, yes, Willis. You were with me my whole engagement. But he was just a cool guy.
Yeah, every story you hear about him, he was just really sweet. Yeah. And we're going to hear more stories about him because Marv Albert's coming on in just a moment.
That's cool.
And we'll get a chance to talk to Marv. Marv made that iconic call. Here comes Willis.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
If you just tuned in, just maybe got out of work, Willis Reed, the captain, has passed away at the age of 80. We are waiting on Marv Albert. He'll be calling in shortly with the iconic Here Comes Willis call. I actually pay homage to that call every time that the Yankees play the Cleveland Indians.
Guardians,
thank you. You knew I was going to say that.
I did. Thank you.
And their pitching coach is Carl Willis.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he comes out to talk to a pitcher, every time, I will go, here comes Willis. Just as an homage to Marv in that moment.
Wow. Well, guess what?
Marv's Willis.
Here comes Marv.
Here comes Marv Albert. Marv, Michael, Don, and Peter, how you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you guys doing? It's obviously a very sad day for many of us, but it's a pleasure to talk about Willis, who was just a wonderful guy, and he was truly the captain in every way.
Tell me about the guy, because I met him several times, and he just had such a sweet demeanor about him, but you knew him, and you knew him for a long time. What was he like behind the scenes, Marv?
Well, that Michael, that really captures him. That's the way he was. The players all had such great respect, not only on the Knicks, but around the league. He came into the NBA as a second-round pick, which really bothered him because the first-round pick was a guy by the name of Bad News Barnes, who had a very short career, although they were both with the Knicks in their first season. But that kind of inspired him and spurred him on. And there was one other incident that I thought was key, which you don't want to say a fight, you know, helps a guy gain respect. But no one would go near him after this in terms of, starting any trouble. But it was an opening night at the Garden against the L.A. Lakers, and somehow I guess a couple of guys started pushing and shoving, and there was a fight broke out, which was a little bit more frequent in those days than you see in recent years. So Willis was held back, and as a kid, I remember him telling the story, he was once held back, and it was beaten up. You know, this is when he was, back home in his high school days. And he never forgot that. And someone made the mistake of holding him back, and he went wild. And he took on the entire Laker team, it seemed. You know, a couple of guys stayed back at the bench. And I can recall he broke the jaw of a guy by the name of John Block.
Wow.
Who had a long career in the NBA. And after that, no one would – I mean, they'd play him hard, but no one would ever mess with Willis, who, as we all knew, and as actually all the players knew, was a, just such a low-key, personable, you know, wonderful guy.
Now, obviously the iconic call, Marv, here comes Willis. Take me back to that day. Did you think he had any chance of playing that day?
I actually did, but I also did the before the radio broadcast of the game. I would do the pregame show, and I did it in the trainer's office with Willis, who had had a suffered a thigh injury in game five. He went down, and the Knicks went on to be able to beat the Lakers. This was 1970 in that game, but he sat out game six in Los Angeles, and there were doubts that he was going to play. He told me in the interview that he's going to play. He got a shot in the thigh, and he said he's going to play. And usually, you know, guys will say that, but you don't necessarily look at it as fact. But both teams went through the warm-ups, and they were almost ready to start the pregame proceedings with the national anthem, etc. And Willis is not on the court. And then just before they were about to end the warm-ups, you hear this roar, and we were high atop the garden in the location at that time, and you could see from underneath Willis is hobbling onto the court, and the crowd goes wild. They go crazy. And that's what I just happened to say. And here comes Willis. And then he's, in fact, he had the Lakers. They stopped. They were like in shock. They all stopped their warm-ups to look over to their left to see that Willis was on the court. You see Chamberlain, West, Baylor, the whole group. They couldn't believe it, you know, because they really were counting on him being out. Then he goes on to hit his first two shots, both like side from the side, jump shots 15, 20 feet out. And, of course, the crowd is, you know, it's one of the louder crowds that I heard at any event, indoor event. And he played maybe, what, 20 minutes? And it didn't matter because the Knicks went on a surge, and they just pummeled the Lakers to win the championship. And the guy who had the great game was Clyde. Walt Frazier, 36 points, 19 assists, 7 rebounds. That was one of the great games for a point guard in the history of the NBA playoffs. But, of course, what will be remembered was Willis, who was not supposed to play, coming out in such dramatic fashion.
Did you sense it all? Like you said, that all the players on the Lakers were looking over and seeing it. Did you sense at that moment how big it was and how it might affect them so negatively when the game started?
I did not. You know, I knew that they had this look of horror. You know, it's funny. I remember Chamberlain's face, but you know. Sometimes you try to think there's a point where you can sense something like that. I still, you know, deep down, thought they were going to have the Knicks would have a really difficult time in that type of situation. Even though in game five, you know, led by a surge, I remember Dave Stallworth had a sensational game. These are names that maybe some people in your audience will know. There were a couple of guys that Clyde had a big game. But without a center, they had four different players going up against. Now, Chamberlain was not at the height of his career. He was still very good, very dangerous. But he was not, you know, this was not the Will Chamberlain who was breaking all the records, although he still had good stats. But I remember DeBuscher played him at center. Stallworth played him at center. Bill Huskett, who was a sub player out of Ohio State, he played him for some minutes,
and someone else did also. You know, but they were obviously so undersized, but it didn't matter because of their style, their passing game and their defense, and the crowd, I think, had a lot to do with it.
Marv, when you think about the all-time moments in your career and you look back, is that number one with a bullet? Or are there Jordan moments that are up there? Well, where does that rank for you?
I mean, I've been fortunate. You have to be in the right place, as Michael can attest to, you know, to get those kind of moments. And there are many Jordan moments, you know, in his playoff, some of the playoff games that he had, and there were several Nick moments. But yeah, it's in the top five, I'd have to say. And there were some Ranger moments too, you know, even situations where they did not go on to win, you know, win at all. But it's right in there. There's no question.
What was his relationship with Holtzman like?
Good. I mean, Red had a great relationship, I think, with everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, he really was very low key. As long as he played defense, I remember at practices he'd always say, "See the ball." That was his big deal. They'd make fun of him with that, "See the ball," and he just had the right personality. It was a very mature group, you know, DeBuscher, Bradley, Clyde, you know, Willis, Barnett. It was a smart team, very mature. Same as in '73. They changed it slightly, you know, but still, it was always you felt pretty good if you were, you know, on that team, that you always had a great shot. And they had these incredible winning streaks during that 69-70 season. They would just rip through, you know, certain parts of the schedule, and which is tough because it's different. They're, you know, we were traveling on, you know, there were no charters. It was a different type of situation, obviously, with the way things were being handled with the players, but it didn't matter because, I mean, everybody was even in that scenario.
I'll tell you what, Marv, I can't thank you enough. And we hate that we're talking to you at a time like this, but to me, talking to you is like having a history of the NBA come to life. You have seen
so
every single thing and been in the middle of it, and I love you for coming on. And, again, I'm sorry because I know he was a friend of yours as well, so my condolences.
Well, I appreciate your kind words too, and the thing is, he was such a great guy. That's what everybody says that about him, as you'll see, you know, when you read the papers tomorrow, and you know, it's all sincere. He was just a wonderful guy.
Thank you, Marv. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks guys.
All right, thanks, Marv.
That's a great Marv Albert. So incredible memories of Willis Reed. And really, I don't think you're going to hear anybody say anything bad about Willis Reed. He was just this gentle giant, just a real nice man. And he had this, like, persona of being, you know, this big tough guy on the court. But, boy, if you met him off the court, he was just really terrific.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.